July 21st at the Masonic Center Mansion, featuring music, appetizers, and a silent auction. Attendees are asked to buy tickets before July 12th. Call 636-9285.
And welcome to the Diabetic Show. My name is Mark Philwood, a type 1 since 87. And the gentleman across from me, obviously you would recognize him from the Miss America contest, Mr. Congeniality.
Toby Maxwell, yes, exactly, because we can all see on the radio. And I've been a type 2 since 2011. We're delighted to join us for another ride on the Diabetic Show, a journey into a nefarious and hideous disease handled in a light and intelligent way. I've decided to put that together, Mark, because you know what? It's so many people are like, what does that show you guys do? And I said, well, we don't sit around and do jokes about it, but we talk about it as real humans do without using these big, long words that would be 162 points in Scrabble.
Because we wouldn't be able to pronounce.
Well, you wouldn't. I'm a little above the curve.
God, let's reset on this. TheDiabeticShow.com, that's where you'll see the visual parts of the show, I guess. It's a nice respite for people who are looking for what were they talking about. It would be on the website.
It's a support group, basically, and how can I say, bathed and disguised in entertainment. We had a great guest today, later on the show, too.
Facebook page, too. Who?
A good comedian friend of mine from Rochester, New York. His name is Ralph Tetta. T-E-T-T-A, if you want to Google him. He's a very funny comedian. And like a lot of comedians, our diet is horrible. A balanced diet is a whopper in each hand. And I have known to he's a very funny guy, but he's dealing with type 2 like a lot of people are. And we've had some other comedians in the past, and it's just one of those things where it's like, man, just because someone is an entertainer doesn't mean that they don't have human quirks and foibles as well.
I like the way you put that disclaimer out there, so we're free and clear.
Well, we're not humans. Comedians, I mean, people say, man, this must be fun and just a party all the time and it's great and you're sitting around making, you know, make noises at the restaurant and it's a hard life.
It's not all autographs and gala premieres.
No, I don't think anybody has got that 9-to-5 job where they work 45 years and get the gold watch and drool away in a trailer as their butt gets bigger and their brain gets smaller watching Bowling for Fish. Or cabbage, or whatever the show is.
Timex. You get it? It's a lousy Timex.
Yeah. Yeah. So what is in the diabetic news heap today, Mark?
Oh, before we go, because I keep forgetting, Troy McDonald.
Oh, yes.
We the last show, I forget to mention that Troy is pretty much responsible whether the show is good or not.
Troy flies the mothership, and he doesn't have type 2 diabetes, but he doesn't lord it over us either.
No, he does not shake his pancreas in front of us. And yeah. With the Reese's just hanging out of his mouth.
Yep.
And
off. Nope.
Okay, I'm getting sweaty. The news, though, not a lot going on except your morning coffee might be able to stave off type 2 diabetes now.
They're
moving on, at least for mice. Again, most of these things we talk about with the medical advances, the mice seem to really have it down. They're the inside track of being cured before us. So,
okay.
Apparently, researchers found it. It's called a product in coffee, not caffeine. A lot of people think it's the caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
No, this time it's called Cafestol. It's a bioactive compound found in coffee. It increases insulin secretion, reduces fasting glucose levels, and improved insulin sensitivity in mice.
That's weird because I just happened to be looking through a trivia book, and one of the facts I saw was coffee has zero nutritional value.
It's a mental thing.
Why that came out. Would this be considered nutritional value?
Finally, you would imagine. Now, this is Frederick Belbay. He's on Department of Endocrinology, University Hospital in Denmark. He's in charge of the study. And as you know, Dobie, type 2 diabetes arises when the body is no longer able to produce enough insulin or use the hormone effectively. As a result, blood glucose levels become too high. Only about 30 million or so type 2 diabetics, 90 to 95% of our audience, type 2 diabetics, especially the ones that don't know about it yet.
We'll talk pre-diabetics. About that. Are pre-diabetics included in that?
No, because they're pre, and we just don't.
What about post-diabetics?
4 cups of coffee, Dobie. 4, that's the number.
For mice?
Yes. 4 cups of coffee for mice. That's what it says here.
I can't picture a mouse urinating exactly that much. They run around with those little feet. Blah, blah, blah. So if a mouse got, you know, 4 cups of coffee in them, they're gonna mark their territory.
Have we read the disclaimer yet? Yeah. Okay. Thanks. Okay. Yeah. The point is, though, drinking coffee may help. They always put the "may" in there because they're looking for more funding, of course, to lower the risk of type 2 diabetes. Apparently, it's not the caffeine. It is
the humidity. Cafestol,
the anti-diabetic drug of the future. Big question mark there. But basically, after 10 weeks, they had two groups of mice. Right in the, half of them got the Cafestol, the other half.
You can just picture these, the mice sitting around. What do you got? I've got type 2 diabetes. Oh, I got cancer. They're going to feed me through the ones, and they're just kind of sitting around eating the, you know, the little miniature Big Macs, whatever they're trying to feed them, and it's always in these ungodly doses.
After 10 weeks, the researchers found both groups that were fed, or at least the side that did Cafestol, experienced a 30% reduction in blood glucose levels compared to the control group, the controlled mice. Mm-hmm. After this 10-week study, apparently 42% improvement overall with sensitivity. So there you go. It's a hope. That's all I'm going for.
So keep drinking coffee.
Yeah, and of course, as it says in just about every story we read here, more research is necessary. Mm-hmm. So in other words,
give me the money.
Thank you so much.
So some mouse right now is snorting Folger's crystals trying to get the Cafestol.
Freeze-dried crystals.
You never know.
It's the future.
All right, that's the diabetic news. You can if you have a question, if you have an article to share with us,
a complaint,
they can do that at the website, correct? TheDiabeticShow.com?
Yeah, or the Facebook page. It's up there. A lot of people have found it literally by not even looking for it, which is the way we like it.
And we do get questions, so please feel free.
Yeah, oh, the website, we told you that. The email, that works as well, Dobie or Mark at The Diabetic Show. And that's that. I tell you what, let's take the break.
Excited to have our guest, Ralph Tedda, comedian, type 2 diabetic, all-around good guy, coming up next on The Diabetic Show.
Thanks for listening. The Diabetic Show, Mark Vilwet, type 1.
Dobie Maxwell, type 2. And we are joined by our guest, also a type 2, but he is a whole lot more than that. He is based out of Rochester, New York, but he tours worldwide as a stand-up comic. He's a great person, a great friend, and I'm sure he's going to be a great guest as well. Mr. Ralph Tedda joins us. Hey, Ralph.
You're too kind. You are very much too kind.
I am Chico, and you are the man, Ralph. And it's so funny.
I will try to be as old and crotchety as Jack Albert ever was.
Now tell us,
Albertson, whatever his name.
Jack Albertson. Yeah, I know I'm dating myself here, but Mark, do you remember that? I know Troy doesn't.
Oh, I'm far too young to know about Freddie Prinze.
Grandma
told me.
And it was funny to me because Freddie Prinze, if you know who that is, if you're over probably 40, 45,
40,
he was a stand-up comedian who was extremely successful. That show was in the 70s called Chico and the Man, and he played he's Puerto Rican, half Puerto Rican and half Hungarian, for you people that care about comedy at all. He called himself a Hungarican. That was his big thing on stage. But he played a Mexican on the show. So the Mexican-Americans and Mexicans were not thrilled because he was, I guess, there's heat between Mexicans and Puerto Ricans. My whole point of the story is he was famous at about age 22. Where comics like Ralph and I are out there slugging the honky tonks, the gin joints, the smoke-filled nightclubs, the father and son waffle and sausage breakfast when they have a comedian and stuff, and we're trying to make a dollar out of 59 cents. So Freddie Prinze was a star at an early age, and Ralph and I are eating bad food, and we have type 2 diabetes. We're talking about it, and Freddie Prinze is a dead legend. So why is that fair?
Yeah. Well, you know, you pay for it though, don't you?
Yes, you do.
Yeah, Fred.
You know, you can either have that, you know, flash in the pan career where he's on TV and he's a big star and then he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we never really became household names, but we're still working, we're still living. And, you know, and you were talking about this earlier that, you know, diabetes is a big part of, you know, the terrible diet. I used to joke all the time, but it's not a joke. And I'd say, you know, somebody would, I'd be in a restaurant server or somebody would say something, are you enjoying your food? And I was like, you don't even understand, this is the first meal I've had this week that they didn't hand through my car window, you know. And when you're eating like that, yeah. it's starches, it's carbs, and it's, you know, fats and sugars, and you don't see a green vegetable, you just don't see it. And you know, that's a huge part of you know, when diabetes came for me, you know, it didn't it didn't, you know, it wasn't like, you know, the diabetes fairy came and went, ding, you've got diabetes. It was this long, you know, okay, you're putting on some weight, okay, now you're starting to realize you're getting, okay, why do I have to go to the bathroom all the time? Why is my mouth dry? You know, I know this doesn't make it sound funny, but, you know, all those signs, you know, started clicking in, and they're like, yeah, okay, you know, you're pre-diabetic. And, you know, it was very funny. The doctor that I was seeing was like, well, did your mother have diabetes? Yes. How about her parents? Yes. Okay, well, guess what? We have a crystal ball. They had diabetes. Very good chance you're going to get diabetes, too. And you know, that's exactly what happened.
How old were you when you were first welcomed into the Type 2 Club?
Probably early 30s. I don't know exactly when, but, you know, I'm going to we'll just meatball it for, you know, say 34, and I'm 51 now. So, you know, been dealing with it for 17 years or so. And it's very funny. My mother is a diabetic, also Type 2, and for whatever reason, even though, you know, she was living in Florida where there's, you know, it's like a 2-to-1 population of doctors to patients. There's just so many of them there. She never got the information. And so she was doing things like taking insulin, but not really understanding what it was doing. So I asked her, I said, you know, I called her up the one day and I said, Mom, have you checked your blood sugar lately? And she says, well, no, I'm getting numbers in the 400s, the 500s, so I just stopped. And I went, well, you can just call the ambulance then. You can just do that if you want.
Yeah.
And she didn't really understand. It's like, well, no, you can't just sit down and eat a big bowl of pasta. And we come from, you know, the Italian people. You can't just enjoy a giant plate of spaghetti like that. You have to worry about portions. You have to worry about, you know, there's something else on that plate other than starches. And the one time I was visiting her, and, you know, I said, Mom, check your blood sugar. And it was in the 300s. And I'm, okay, so you know that that's too much, right? So, you know, so I said, let's do this. I said, I need to do some shopping. I need to go to the hardware store. Figure I'm going to get her over into one of those big box stores, and I'm going to walk her up and down every single aisle. Well, I didn't have to because there was, like, one of those little outlet malls. And, you know, it's Florida, so any time of the year you can walk around there in your shirt sleeves, you're walking around. And I took her, like, maybe five laps around this outlet mall, in and out in every store and up and down. I went, took her back home, and I said, check your blood sugar again. And it had gone down significantly from, you know, in the 300s to, you know, like a more manageable 179 or something like
that.
That's
pretty significant.
Very much so. And, you know, and I just explained, I said, see, diet is a part of it. Exercise is also a part of it. And, you know, and that's where the stand-up comedian lifestyle really makes you susceptible, because you're in the car, and Dobie always jokes about this. You know, people generally, you know, they drive 15 minutes to a half an hour to work, and then they work for 8 hours. We drive 8 hours to work, and we work for about a half an hour to an hour.
It's true.
And that's exactly what it is. And so you're in the car, and it's very sedentary. You're just sitting there. The chance to really, you know, get out. I've just now started, when I go on longer trips, I think I break it out at like 200 miles. Every 200 miles, I must get out of the car and walk around for 10 minutes. And, you know, and it's also good for circulation.
Sure.
Which is another thing that suffers when you're diabetic. So, you know, don't ever discount that exercise as being so much, you know, it's as important as counting carbs. It's as important as watching portions. It's as important as not, you know, listening to the siren song of the candy bar when you stop at the gas station and you go to pay for your gas and it's right there.
Buy me.
Right there.
Well, I have to ask you, what do you use to treat your type 2, Ralph?
I am taking two different insulins. I have the long-term insulin.
You're injecting?
Basaglar, yep. And then also Novolog, which is more of a mealtime insulin. And they work pretty well in concert. And then for a while there, I was taking the Meteglinide, I think is going to be like, it's an oral medication, Starlix. I had some problems tolerating it, though, because I was finding that it was, depending on dosages and whatnot, that I had a tendency to, let me see if I can make this funny.
yes, please.
I would go to number two when I wasn't expecting it. Ooh. And it happened to me, actually. I was playing a casino in the northern peninsula of Michigan, which mm-hmm. is lovely, lovely country up there. And
if you're a polar bear, yeah.
Wolverine. Yeah, if you happen to be if you're a snowmobile or a a lumberjack or anything.
And hockey puck.
I show up at this casino and I go to check in at the restaurant. Oh, you're the comedian. Oh, guess what? We got free buffet. Free buffet? Are you kidding? Mm-hmm. Okay. So go up, take the luggage, put the luggage in the hotel room, take my medication because I'm about to go eat. So take the Starlix. Head on down to the buffet, enjoy the buffet, you know, leave a gracious tip, get back to the elevator, and I realize I'm at floor number one, my room is on floor number five, and I'm not going to make it. And somewhere Ooh. Around floor number four, I had a wardrobe malfunction, let's call it. I made a deposit, and yeah, that's when I found out I wasn't tolerating this
medicine
very well.
Yes,
I had to get right into the shower and rinse some things out. So,
they had to wet vac the elevator.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, and this is like, what's the joke at the casinos? The big dice game is called craps. Mm-hmm. I don't even want to go there.
But yes. Whenever you see a commercial on TV about any medicine, all they basically do is give you the name of the medicine and for the other 58 seconds, all the reasons that you might die from
side
taking
effects.
It. Yes, the side effects.
That is definitely true. Now, this is not, I will tell you, when my physician started rolling these pills at me, and they do love to do that.
They do,
for
yes.
some reason.
First ones are free.
Yeah, so you really, you know, you got to watch, and not all of them are going to be your friends. Some of them, I will tell you, have done me wonders. I can't say enough about the thyroid medication that I take. I think it works great. The blood pressure medicine I take is phenomenal. Starlix was not my buddy. So then we went off of oral medication and went to the injectables. And the injections have been working fine. So, you know, it's like, okay, if it's not broken, don't fix it. They did hold off on the injections as long as they possibly could. And then it was just, okay, we've got to do something because these numbers, this A1C is going up, you know, which is for the non-burst, you know, that's your, you know, kind of your standing.
Your report card.
Blood sugar content.
How were you with injectables? I mean, mentally, you know, where you take the cap off and you see that spear looking at you. And,
oh, yeah. No.
You know what? I was going to say, the needles that I use are such a small gauge that I don't even flinch. I mean, I have more problem with the finger prick test with the blood sample tester. In a previous life, I played bass guitar. And that helps with some callusing on the fingers. And so, you know, one of the things that, you know, looking around, like in the summertime, I'm usually tooling around in shorts, and it's easy enough to take a sample off the side of your leg. That's, you know, that's easy enough. But, you know, in the wintertime, then you're going back to the fingers, and it's like, okay, you know, and it'll always be like, all right, buddies, which of you is getting it tonight?
It's true. Very true.
One of them. But I the needles themselves, I find it's not even anything. I will say, I knew that I was late for a dosage, and I was driving from a gig or to a gig or whatever the case was, and I was caught in traffic, and I just wasn't going to wait anymore, and then traffic started up. Meanwhile, I've got the needle ready, and I actually stabbed myself through my shirt. And injected, because it only puts a tiny, teeny, teeny, tiny little hole. So it wasn't like it was anything. It was just driving around wearing a T-shirt or something. But I poked myself through the.
That is hardcore, Ralph. That's Charles Bronson tough. I mean, just.
Yeah, and then Yeah, and then I put my hand over the flame and kept it there because I'm a tough guy. No, I mean, you know, it was only the once. And whatever the circumstances was, in my seatbelt, I couldn't roll my shirt up because the seatbelt had it pinned or whatever the case was. But, you know, it was like, okay, I wasn't expecting traffic to start moving. I was sitting in a traffic jam, and then all of a sudden, off we go. But, you know, here's the thing. And I always talk about, I say this in a lot of different situations, but I always say you have to manage your side of the counter, you know? So, like, you go to a store or whatever, don't pick up something that isn't going to scan at the register. You know, if you can see that something's wrong with the UPC code, then I got to put the thing up, price check, or they got to run back and get another one. You got to do your due diligence. If your doctor tells you, okay, listen, here's the thing, you know, you might love corn. Corn's a very starchy vegetable. Maybe don't eat that. You know, you sort of have to listen. You got to pay attention. You know, they say, you know, it's good to get out and walk for about a half an hour a day. Don't fight them. Do it. If it's raining, carry an umbrella. If you really don't want to get wet, stay in the house. Go up and down the stairs. Do something. Everything that you do that is toward that goal counts. It all counts. You can sit there, you can cry about it and go, oh, I'll just eat a birthday cake. I have diabetes. You know, you can have a bad attitude about it, or you can have a good attitude about it. And knowledge is a huge thing. And, you know, shows like this, I'm not trying to blow smoke or anything, but it's a great, you know, it's almost like a fellowship.
That's why we're here. Yes.
Like that. You know, and bravo to you guys for doing it.
Well, glad you're part of it. Real quick, Ralph, now you live in Rochester, New York, and our show is recorded in Wisconsin, and we do have listeners from all over the place. We're thankful for every one of them. Winter is a big deal when it comes to exercise. Like you said, you know, you're in your summer, your shorts is one thing, flip-flops, yeah. But how do you exercise in winter? That's just such a tough thing. It can be.
I'll tell you what, you know, there's a lot to be said, and you're going to think I'm kidding. There's a lot to be said for housework, mm-hmm. and I mean stupid stuff, doing the laundry, going down to the basement, putting the clothes in the washer, you know, bringing them back upstairs, vacuuming, dusting. I mean, you're moving around. I like to do things like, okay, today's the day I'm going to clean out the basement. All right, and you're moving stuff around, you're picking things up. You really can get a lot of stuff done. You can be productive. One of the things I used to do, no lie, actually in an older apartment that I used to live in, I had an extremely large bathroom. It was just a weird, the place was set up weird. I used to do jumping jacks. Go in the bathroom and I'd do jumping jacks in there. And anything that you do, anything that you can do is, it's a bullet in your arsenal against disease, which is, you know, they haven't cured it yet. You can manage it.
You manage it. And secondly, what I found after being diabetic for a few thousand years now, it's a series of tiny steps. And like what you said, you try to find the time. You try to find, for even like five jumping jacks, that's five in your bank. Say you're saving. Like you're dropping corn, you're not going to double carb a meal. So you just do the peas that time, or the bread. You're just trying to find an ounce here, a gram there, and before you know it, you've saved 100 calories. And over the time, that same 100 calories that you were eating that makes your feet go away, as it kind of hides under the stomach eventually, it comes back. But you bring up a good point. Take the break here?
Yes, let's take a break. Ralph Tedda is our guest. This is The Diabetic Show. Mark Philwitt is to my left. I am Dobie Maxwell. We'll be right back. Thank you for joining us.
The Diabetic Show. Mark Philwitt, type 1 diabetic.
Dobie Maxwell, type 2 diabetic and American.
Okay, I'm an American too.
Trying to top you, man. Could have some Canadian type 3s. I don't know.
Ooh.
Metric. The metric system.
We'd like to really thank our guest who we're speaking with.
Ralph Tedda is our guest. He's a comedian friend of mine. Ralph, let's get your website out there. If someone wants to sample your comedy, how can they do that?
Sure. It is real simple. RalphTetta.com, RALPHTETTA, 5 and 5, looks good on the marquee. RalphTetta.com.
One thing I wanted to ask, and I like when we have comedians on there, do you do any material about it in your show yet?
I'll tell you what. I have a little platform. If you're on Twitter, you can follow me on Twitter. It's just at RalphTetta. I wrote a joke once, and someone said, here's the joke. Someone said, you have to learn how to manage your diabetes, so I make it wear a name tag and work weekends.
Bada bing.
I didn't say it was a great joke. But no, I honestly don't get into it too much on stage. I think it's just because, you know, I mean, there's so many other things to talk about that, you know, if you do an hour show, you run out of time. So, I mean,
it's a really good point.
It's not something I haven't really tried to go after.
Here's the thing we're talking about. We've had some other comedians, and I've known you before we started doing the show. There's a gentleman named Chelsea Rice. He lives down in Atlanta, and he's a diabetic. I had heard about him, and I was introduced to him. He was a great guest. We're trying to get together a tour of diabetic comedians to have like a group session, like a discussion group, and then do a show afterwards. So you don't, it's okay if you don't have it in your act. Well, I'm just trying to see, you know, Mark and I are thinking about putting this together.
Sure.
That was easy.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like a good, sounds like a good platform. And, you know, and definitely this is it's kind of thing that, you know, because it is a chronic condition, you know, that the people are out there that have to deal with it. And it's nice to know it's not just you, because so many times it really does feel like it's just you. You know, when everyone's, you know, hey, well, how about another beer? I really shouldn't. Hey, piece of cake for you, birthday. Here you go. No, really not.
Well, the birthday turnips has been now it's a new tradition, you know. The birthday kohlrabi.
Yeah. Somehow it doesn't have the same ring.
No, you put a couple of candles in there, and it's like, hey, we're getting older anyway. So,
Ralph. Well, you know, I gave myself diabetes because I used to drink coffee, and I used to just spoon the sugar in there, and I think my desired consistency was sandcastle. I think that's
too funny. Now, that's another thing, too. Mark, do you drink coffee?
Oh, a lot. A lot.
Troy, our producer, are you a coffee drinker?
No.
He is not. I am not at all. I don't know if there's good or bad, and if it has anything to do with diabetes or not, but to me, smells great, tastes horrible.
Yeah, that's how it is.
It's an acquired taste.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah. Oh, Lord.
So is soccer, I guess. Ralph, we're going to turn you loose right now. Thanks for being an awesome guest.
Soccer.
You get RalphTetta.com, RALPHTETTA. I highly recommend it. Check him out. He's a great guy, great comic. Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate the time, sir.
Thank you guys so much. It was a lot of fun.
We'll have you back on the tour, man.
Excellent. Thank you, sir. All right. Great. I mean, just, I think the thing that we always touch on, Dobie, it doesn't matter who we're speaking with, they all have the same wonderment whether it's just them. The feelings they're having, the thoughts that they're having about the disease, how they have to cope with it, deal with it. And it isn't just them. As we tell every show, 30 million, 30, 40 some million people. At the end of this show, from where we started, according to the stats, we have 8 new diabetics.
Well, hopefully we'll have 8 new listeners as well.
Oh, look at that.
And that's why we're here together. Seriously, we joke and we have fun, but we don't make fun of the fact that, you're right, there are 30 million people dealing with this disease, and we hopefully make it a little bit easier for you, and people like Ralph willing to go out and tell their story. He's a great guy, so check him out. If you're a fan of comedy, go check out Ralph. He's funny.
Suggestions for the show, criticisms? Those go to Dobie, but that would be the diabeticshow.com.
Criticisms, witticisms.
He'll steal the material if it's good.
That's exactly right. Thanks for joining us. Anything else?
On the Facebook page.
Facebook page.
You'll get there as well. Again, we thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
Be healthy. Thank you. Coffee, no sugar tonight in my tea. No sugar to stand beside me. No sugar to run with me.
Support comes from Kenosha Harbor Market, featuring a pair of spice vendors, Happy Mouth Organics with herbs, spices, and infused oils, and Nature's Colors, offering herbs, spices, teas, and dip mixes. The market is open Saturdays from 9 until 2 on 2nd Avenue in Plaza de Way.
Support for WGTD comes from Jack and Drea, a Kenosha tradition since 1911. A unique shopping experience time and time again, that's what keeps you coming back. Visit jackandrea.com for more information. From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, Jam On Fighting Human Trafficking Through the Arts is an all-day event held at Memorial Hall in downtown Racine on Saturday, August 4th.